us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your words that we have just heard. And we pray that we might hear them not just as words from our past, the past of your people, but that we might understand them, the truth, in them, the truth that you would have us to hear today. Give us understanding and wisdom through these words. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. In his book, The Anatomy of an Illness as Perceived by the Patient, the late American journal, political journalist Norman Cousins tells of being hospitalized with a rare crippling disease. He writes, when he was diagnosed as incurable, he checked out of the hospital. Aware of the harmful effects that negative emotions can have on the body, Cousins reasoned the reverse was true. So he borrowed a movie projector and prescribed his own treatment, consisting of Marx Brothers films and old candid camera reruns. And it didn't take long for him to discover that 10 minutes of laughter provided him with 2 hours of pain-free sleep. Amazingly, his debilitating disease was eventually reversed. And after the account of his victory appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine, Cousins received more than 3,000 letters from appreciative physicians throughout the world. In the face of the anxiety of a rare crippling disease, Cousins chose to laugh. And in his laughter, he found healing. I think it is no surprise to any of you if I say that we are all experiencing anxiety right now. Anxiety with the continued onslaught of the pandemic, the loss of jobs and income, the riots and protests. Our lives are under incredible stress right now. I find it interesting that during this time, it appears that a lot of people are turning to humor. People are posting jokes and funny stories and cartoons on Facebook and other social media. There seems to be, as Cousins discovered, a connection between anxiety and the use of humor. And yet when we are in times like these, when we are experiencing these kinds of anxiety, it almost seems sacrilegious to laugh. To laugh in the face of what is happening in our country today. But I don't think it's sacrilegious. It takes courage to laugh in times like these. In our reading from Genesis, Sarah, old enough to have 1 foot in the grave, long after she was of childbearing age, hears that she's going to finally bear the child that they had so hoped for while she was of childbearing age. And her response was to laugh. She laughed at God or God's promise. And I don't believe it was a laughter of scorn or disbelief or disrespect or doubt towards God. Rather, it was a laughter born out of the movement from despair to hope. It is the sound of something so exciting that it bursts out in the sound of laughter. When I look back on my life, there are times I've experienced that laughter. And I hope you can think of some as well. If we think about it, takes courage to hope. To hope in something that seems impossible or improbable. When it becomes a reality or a possibility, laughter and joy mark or celebrate that transition. However, we don't have to wait for the reality or the possibility to laugh. We can laugh right now because we know we have God. God will use the impossibility, the incurability, the improbability to offer us grace. And this we know, as Paul found out when he wrote in Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God. I'm reminded of a story told by Rabbi Harold Kushner, who wrote the famous book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Well, he also wrote another book entitled, When All You Wanted Wasn't Enough. And in it, he shares this story. I was sitting on a beach one summer day, watching two children, a boy and a girl, playing in the sand. They were hard at work building an elaborate sandcastle by the water's edge with gates and towers and moats and internal passages. And just when they had nearly finished their project, a big wave came and knocked it down and reduced it to a heap of wet sand. I expected the children to burst into tears, devastated by what had happened to all their hard work. But they surprised me. Instead, they ran up the shore away from the water, laughing and holding hands, and sat down to build another castle. I realized that they had taught me an important lesson. All the things in our lives, all the complicated structures we spend so much time and energy creating, are built on sand. Only our relationships to other people endure. And sooner or later, the wave will come along and knock down what we've worked so hard to build up. And when that happens, only the person who has somebody's hand to hold will be able to have. I love that description. Sarah laughed at the transition from despair to joy because she had the promise of God to hold on to. She knew not only the grace of God, but also that she was not left alone. The late Quaker writer, Dr. Tom Mullen, in his book, Laughing Out Loud and Other Religious Experiences, writes about this. When we are in a state of fun, we are probably not in the mood to save the world nor destroy it. But we may be able to do a good thing for the time God has given us. These moments of fun help us climb out of our anxiety and just enjoy the moment God, by God's grace, has given us. And yet, in times of anxiety, we repress the laughter. It seems, like I said earlier, sacrilegious to laugh at those times. It seems if we laugh, we'd be making light of a situation that's too serious. And yet, as I was working on this sermon, I was thinking, I would love to be able to stand and laugh with my black brothers and sisters right now as we recognize that something incredible is happening in our country, as we protest what has been happening and begin to make changes. Something impossible, seemingly impossible, improbable is happening. People are standing up and taking notice. Will we get out of this racism Will we get out of this with racism destroyed? Probably not at this time. But you know, this is a God-driven, grace-filled time when something wonderful is happening. What seemed impossible or improbable several weeks ago now feels more possible. It's hard to laugh when we have a pandemic death number over 115,000 people in this country. But we can still laugh at the many funny stories that people are sharing. We can laugh because we have the hand of God to hold on to and know and trust that God will give us the strength to get through this. We need to have the courage and believe that God is with us. There is still much that we can laugh at because we have the hands of God to hold on to. This is the word of grace we have to share with others. That with God's grace, we can hope in the possibilities of life and hope for not only us, but for all people. You know, last week I talked about the scourge of white privilege. And yes, we whites have a lot of work to do. But this week I feel a sense of joy that maybe we're turning a corner. I can let that joy come out, a joyous laughter, and enjoy this moment of God's grace. People are finally getting it. I hope you can as well. May we, like Sarah and cousins in our opening story, find healing and wholeness, freedom from anxiety, and laughter. Amen.